Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We worship you, Lord. Lord, we're grateful because out of the many things you could have chosen to use, Lord, you chose us. Father, I pray that we will be in this place with a receptive heart. Lord, I pray that my voice may become smaller so that yours can become greater. Lord, I pray that you will speak truth tonight. Lord, I pray that your voice will echo through this entire congregation. And Lord, I pray that it not simply go through one ear and out the other, but Father, I pray that it will penetrate even the deepest of hearts. Lord, that it will resonate and echo throughout our lives, Almighty. Because every piece of your word is a word that we should have forever, God. It's a word that we need to hold on to. And so, Lord, I pray for strength. Lord, I pray for your word to be as powerful as it's always been. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, church. Thank you, worship team. Small confession. That was just a personal pick of mine. I like that song a lot. So one of the cool things about having your own house and worship team is you get to pick your own songs. And if Alicia's in a good mood with me, she'll agree. But I'm very blessed to be able to have the team and the community and the church and the city. I just love this city that we have here. And so I'm excited once again to be here with you all. I really, really like you guys. And if you knew me for an extended period of time, you know that I'm almost too straightforward. And I would tell you if I didn't like you. But I like you. So it all works out this way. I'm excited to be here today. Just been a long week. July, summertime is always really rough for youth pastors. That's when everybody graduates. And today around 6 or 7, me and one of my interns are going to do a nice little six-hour drive to the end of Illinois and have a nice long week of 100-degree weather camp. And so pray for me. It's usually a good time because I come back 50 pounds lighter. And so that can hurt, you know. So I'm excited for that. And again, if there's no other reason to praise God this morning, we praise Him for the air conditioning. Yeah. Man, all week, my car doesn't have air conditioning, and I was dying. I'm a youth pastor, I'm not rich. So, it's been a long week, it's been a rough week, but I'm excited to be able to be here. Let me ask you this real quick question. I don't know if everyone here, if anybody here, has anyone seen Spider-Man this last week that came out? Anybody watch Spider-Man? Okay. Yes.
Awesome.
Not just because I'm a youth pastor do I watch little kid movies like that, but mostly because I'm a little kid. Like I snuck in to see Brave, the little Pixar movie, without my nieces, and I felt so guilty because my sisters called me over. I can't believe you saw the other nieces. I like Pixar. It's not my fault. Okay, I like watching some of these shows. But as I was watching Spider-Man, in itself, it's just an amazing movie as far as the design and how everything looks. But it reminded me of something that I felt I wanted to share with you guys. This morning, last week we talked about, I don't know if anybody remembers, what did we talk about last week? Nice, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. That's an easy one to remember. We talked about Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and I'm sure some of you here might have been a little apprehensive and looked at me and said, this guy's going to preach on Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, we're not children. But any of you who's ever had children know, you maybe learn the most from children. Children teach you so many lessons, even in your older age, you just look at me, you're just, these lessons are taught over and over again. And so as I was kind of watching Spider-Man, and then yesterday I had an opportunity to just hang out with my niece who's 3 years old and crazy and runs around and just does everything that crazy little kids do. It reminded me of another nursery rhyme that I felt might actually give us a little insight into something I think we all might need to hear today. And that's the Itsy Bitsy Spider. Anybody remember Itsy Bitsy Spider?
Yes.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider. Xavier, come on, you're my answer, so I get to embarrass you all the time. Xavier, do you remember the Itsy Bitsy Spider? No. You're in church, my friend. Okay. Do you remember the hand signals to the Itsy Bitsy Spider? Okay, do me a favor, Rex. Would you demonstrate for those of us who maybe have never had the experience of the Itsy Bitsy Spider? Okay, would you demonstrate for, and the song, because it goes well with the rhythm. Everybody, you're going to have Xavier demonstrate for you.
So, the Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the wall. I can't go that much higher. Down came the rain and washed the spider up. Washed the spider up? Okay. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain.
Very good, Xavier. hand motions weren't quite what they used to be, but it's ironic because as I was looking up research on the Itsy Bitsy Spider, just like I did for some of those other nursery rhymes, I found that there's not really a lot of origin to the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and unlike Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, it's not a longer poem. That pretty much is all the lyrics to Itsy Bitsy Spider, and so actually most people believe the reason that they created that song was to teach motor skills to children. Obviously, Xavier didn't pass that part in kindergarten. But it's to kind of just teach, you know, thumb, finger, couple motor skills to get them to understand it. But for me, as I looked at that little nursery rhyme, I just felt there was so much truth in it. And one of those cool things, the closer you get to God, the stronger you're in your relationship with God, the more you just see Him in everything. And so as I was looking at that little poem, there were some things in my heart that just felt like, man, there's something big in this. You see, I believe that on our journey toward heaven, we're going to go through some stuff a lot of times. You know, and our journey toward heaven, we're climbing that water spout, so to speak. We're doing everything we can to live holy. We're doing everything we can to live the way that God's called us to live. But sometimes as we're climbing that water spout, as we're inching closer and closer towards heaven, sometimes the rains come. And sometimes they wash us out. Sometimes situations happen in our lives. Stuff happens in our lives. We can be on fire for God, passionate, going after Him, being faithful in service, being faithful in our devotions, just all around having a good time with God. And then suddenly something happens. Some situation occurs, some circumstance occurs, some rain falls, and can possibly wash us up. People in church might even be part of that rain. Not this church, this is a great church, but there's other churches where you may have gossip going on. And the people that you trusted, the people that you hoped would be this Christian family that you were looking for, now suddenly they're backfiring. And now you don't want to go anymore. You were doing great, everything was wonderful, but suddenly there was a shift. Suddenly that pastor that you were so passionate about no longer goes there. And now you have a new pastor, a new person to adjust in. Party just says, you know what, that's not where I was at. I was comfortable with this person. Situations occur in our lives that end up washing us up. You know, you were doing so well in this area of your life, and then suddenly you fell into that temptation that you thought you were over, that you thought was all in your past, and you thought everything was going well, and then suddenly washes you out again. You end up doing something you never thought you'd do again. You see, situations are occurring constantly. And I've heard over the past couple of weeks, you're mourning the death of a family member in the church. Situations occur. Stuff happens to where you're wondering why. You know, the other day, we especially where we work at, we have constant issues. And I remember at one time, I had a 15-year-old boy, this was early on when I was a pastor, about 15, 16. And I got a phone call that he wanted to come to my office to talk to me because his little brother was playing softball with his grammar school team. And on a freak accident, they hit a fly ball out to the outfield. He dove to catch it, landed on the softball, broke his sternum, and killed him instantly. And so this 16-year-old boy is coming to my office to say, Pastor Joy, why did my 13-year-old brother die? And I'm sitting there scratching my brain. I'm sitting there trying to figure out. I call every pastor I know. I read every book I know. I'm trying to figure this all out. How do I explain to this 16-year-old boy who finally, you know, gave his life to Christ, who was doing so great, who was coming to our small group, who was connected, who was worshiping God, who had left a lot of the baggage that he had? This 16-year-old boy was on his way toward heaven, and then suddenly, bam. Something just washed him out. See, situations happen. One minute, you're closer to God than you've ever been, and then the next, you just want to quit the whole Christ Jesus thing altogether. You see, that's why I believe the Bible is so important and what God is trying to tell us this morning. You see, John 16, verse 33, again, I'm going to jump around a lot, so you want to just jot it down and look it over in case you think I'm lying. John 16, verse 33. I tell my kids all the time, if you just trust everything I say from the Pope, you ain't telling me. I'll make something up every now and then. John 16, 33 says this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, Jesus is slick here because too often us Christians, we believe that because we're God's children, because we have this relationship with God, that for whatever reason, we're supposed to be in a protective bubble, that absolutely nothing is supposed to happen to us, nothing is supposed to harm us, and if something does harm us, now suddenly we feel that God has left us. But what Jesus is saying right here is very simple. He's warning you, and he's giving you a heads up. He's saying, listen, I didn't say you're going to be in a protective bubble. As a matter of fact, something is going to happen to you. Many trials will come. Many sorrows will come. You live in this world. We may not be of this world, but we do live in this world. And as a person who is living in this world, we're going to come across deaths. We're going to come across sorrow. We're going to come across hurt feelings. We're going to come across medical issues. Situations are going to arise, and trials and sorrows are going to come into our lives. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, don't say I didn't warn you. But at the same time, because it says, but, and I love to say this, Jesus got a big but a lot of times. It says, but, take heart, because I've overcome the world. Jesus loves to throw those butts right in the middle and say, listen, man, I know it's bad, I know situations are coming, but I've already taken care of it. I've already overcome the world. You see, all of us are going to fall down. Each and every one of us, at some point in your life, at some point in this Christian walk, you're going to fail. At some point in this Christian walk, you are not going to live up to the standard to which Christ has called you. The Bible says that we all fall short of the righteousness of God. That not one person is holy, not even one. So we're all going to fall. Okay? That we have to accept. But what we don't accept is staying down.
Yes.
You see, the cool thing about the itsy bitsy spider is, yes, the water flushed them up. Then out came the sun and dried up all the rain. The itsy bitsy spider went up the spider. Now, I can imagine if it were me, just like I remember back in the day, some of you might remember this, some of you might not, my generation does, that old movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And I remember just when I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, it's like, man, I would be tired walking from one blade of grass to the other. You know, and you don't think about it that way. So here's this itty-bitty spider, man, how much work it took for him to get where he was at, and how much struggle and how much they had to go for it and to have it all washed out. Now, listen, for me, and I'd like to tell you, I'm a really dedicated, awesome, committed. When I work really hard on something, you know, if I'm like building a sandcastle, someone kicks it over, I'm not starting over. I'm going home. It's like, I'm done. I tried it. It was great. It looked good. You messed it up. Bang, I ain't doing it again. But no, see, in our Christian walk, our attitude can't be like that. Because we will fall. And that's okay. It's okay to fall. The trick is making sure that we get back up. You know, for me, I'm a huge football fan, just diehard Bears fan. I read every article there is. I'm convicted by it sometimes. But one of my all-time favorite players is Walter Payton. If you're from Chicago, you don't like Walter Payton, something's wrong with you. One of my all-time favorite players is Walter Payton. And look at these stats when it comes to Walter Payton. He played for 13 seasons, and he missed only one game. And I heard a documentary about it. He said, I didn't want to miss that game. They didn't put me in. He ran for 16,726 yards. That's about 9.5 miles of running with that football. Running with somebody trying to kill him. He averaged 4.6 yards every time he ran the ball, meaning that he was knocked down nearly 4,000 times. He kept getting up. What made Walter Payton so sweet was that you could hit him with everything he had, and sometimes he'd hit you back on the way down. But as soon as he hit that ground, he popped right back up. Every time. He popped right back up. You never saw him laying there. You never saw him scringing. You never saw him feeling sorry for himself. You never saw him crying. He got right back up, shook their hand, and said, let's go again. And see, for me, that's the thing I always loved about football. It's like, yeah, you get me on this one, but I got the next one. You may knock me down now, but you didn't knock me out. And see, here's the cool thing about Walter Payton is he was constantly knocked down, but very rarely was he knocked out. An interesting fact about Walter Payton, his childhood nickname was Spider-Man. Just to kind of, that's cool. See, Walter Payton wasn't remembered by how many times he was knocked down, but by the fact that he always kept getting up. It's interesting that we need to look at some of these things to remind us, because life hits us. Life hits us like a freight train. Life knocks you out sometimes and throws you on your butt and you don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, the trick is don't stay down. When you fall, get back up. And you know what? As we look at that, that's a pretty simple concept. It's almost a, okay, that makes sense, but we don't all do it. And so I ask myself, well, why do we stay down? Why is it that after we fall, it takes us so long to get back up if we get up at all? And so there was three things I looked at, three things I felt God put on my heart to kind of explain that. And the first one is this. When it comes to falling down hurts. Many of you have ever fell down after the age of 7, it hurts. Okay? You ride a bike, and when you're learning to ride a bike, what happens? You fall a lot. You're learning to ride a bike, and you keep falling. And I said, I got a little niece, she runs into everything. just, she got a big head, and that just leads her everywhere she runs. So she runs, she knocks herself out all the time. And she just gets back up. And again, the same thing when you were learning to ride a bike. You fell down a few times. I mean, maybe if you were like a super prodigy, you rode the first one and you were great and you never fell again. But for me, even if I rode okay, I couldn't stop the first couple times. You slow fall. So we've all fallen. But the trick was you got back up. And listen, Proverbs 24:16 says this. The godly may trip seven times. They will get up again.
Yes.
The godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Listen, man, there will be moments when you will mess up, when you will fall, and it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you emotionally. It's going to hurt you psychologically. It's going to hurt you spiritually. You may fall into sin that you thought you beat. There's been times in my life where I thought I was over a certain situation. You know, that sin that you're constantly struggling with. Maybe I'm alone on that, but I feel like some of us may have that thing. You thought you had it under control. You thought you were over. You thought you had conquered it. And you maybe got a little comfortable with it. And you slip. And you fall. You're hurt. And so you start beating yourself up after it. I thought I had this. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was finally over this. I didn't think I'd have to struggle with this again. It hurts when you fall down. You may be discouraged because someone you trusted failed you. And because they failed you, you hurt. And that hurt causes you to close up. And you don't want to open up to anybody else because you're worried that they're going to fail you too. I work with teenagers who constantly have that same issue, that they're not willing to trust us because the last person they trust hurt them. So I understand why it's hard to get back up after you fall. You see, oftentimes you may just be messing up in the same area over and over again, and you start to just wonder, what's the point of trying? I keep doing the same thing. I keep messing up the same way. But here's the problem. Often our biggest critic are ourselves, and that's why it hurts so much when we fall. We sit there and we pout, and we sit there and we beat ourselves up, and we sit there and we criticize ourselves. And no one else is criticizing you, even Jesus. But yet we sit there and we have this sulking, sad little affair. I told you earlier, I love football. One thing I can't stand is when someone messes up and then just sits there crying about it. My attitude, I'm not as holy as all of you, but my attitude is normally I get them up. One way or the other, I pick them up, I throw them up, I yell at them up. But you get up because there's another play coming right up. And if you stay down, you're going to get hurt. And so listen, falling, yes, it hurts, but it hurts more to stay down. See, Jesus wants you to just get up and dust yourself off. The godly may fall seven times, but they will get up again. The second thing is this, falling down, yes, it hurts, but it also is embarrassing. Falling down is embarrassing. There are thousands of TV shows. America's Funniest Home Videos has made a living on embarrassing people falling down. You know how you know? Last time you fell down, first thing you did, you looked around to see if anybody saw you. That's the first thing everybody does. Yes. When you fall down, you stop and look. Because if nobody saw you, it's not a big deal to you. You kind of laugh. But if somebody saw you, you're like, oh my God. There was water there. You try to explain it to them. They don't care. They just thought it was funny. Falling down is embarrassing. No, you don't want anyone to see you fall down. If no one saw you, you're okay. And sometimes when we fall publicly. And it's embarrassing to go back to God. It's embarrassing to get back up in front of people. And so you stop and everybody in church knows what happened. You fell and gossiped. Unfortunately, floated around, and you know, Sister So-and-so thought it was important to put your business out there for prayer purposes. And now everyone knows. So you're embarrassed. You don't want to come to God's house anymore. That's the way the enemy sets it up, so that you don't come back. Because when you fall down, it can be really embarrassing. When you fall down, you stop coming to church. You start avoiding godly people in your life. I know this. Anytime I have a student who backslides, my first inclination is I just haven't heard from them. I try to look them up on Facebook, suddenly I'm deleted from their page. I try to call them, they don't answer my calls anymore. Most of the time it's because they're embarrassed. They don't delete anybody else, but they delete the pastor because they don't want the pastor to see what they're doing. Because it's embarrassing. And instead of being embarrassed, they just rather pretend like it didn't happen. You see, all because it reminds us of our embarrassment of falling. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Here's the thing. God doesn't want you to stay God. God wants to reconcile you. Christ doesn't want to just throw your past in your face. And so often, and I'll tell you, for me in my personal life, the times where I couldn't pray were because I was embarrassed of getting into the presence of God. Because you can be okay when you fall if you ignore it. But the moment you get into God's presence, the moment you close your eyes and try to pray, suddenly all that stuff that you know you haven't dealt with creeps back up into your head. And instead of dealing with it, instead of confronting that embarrassment and saying, God, forgive me, you say, you know what, I don't want to do anything with it. I'm going to ignore you. So often we ignore God simply because we're embarrassed to confront him as if he doesn't already know what you've done. And so I find that the most times we do that, we have it confused. It's almost like a child. And again, we learn so much from children, but you know I have a niece. I have two nieces. The one niece, when she does bad things, she hides, and she hides quick. And they'll run under your bed, they'll hide behind the couch, they have that little sad face. And when you find a part of you just wants to pick them up and hug them, but you know you got to kind of keep a straight face so that you can teach them a lesson. But as a parent, your heart is to love them, to make them know that they're okay, that even though they messed up, it's okay. Then I have another niece who tells on herself. She just, for whatever reason, she got into the habit of saying nothing. So when you ask her, Gigi, what are you doing? Nothing! And so she'll be doing something bad in the other room, and you just hear her, nothing! Nobody asked her anything. And you just hear her, nothing! And then you run in there, and you see her doing nothing. So for us, are we going to be the kind of people that will hide from God? Are we going to go up to him and say, hey, God, nothing. I did nothing. You need to come check this out. I want to be able to say that I can go to God even when I'm upset. Even when I know I've done wrong. Even when I know I've saddened. Because I know that my God is a God of reconciliation. Yes. My God is a God who says, even though you messed up, I will wipe away every tear. When you look at the story of the adulterous woman, God said, listen, who here has condemned you? Nobody. And neither have I. Now go and sin no more. And that's the key. He didn't say, neither did I, so it's okay, keep doing it. No, don't get me wrong. It's not that we're going to go to God and God's going to be okay and then you can just keep doing what you want to do and keep sinning in front of him. But what you notice is God told him, listen, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. And I love that fact because I know that when I messed up, even though it hurts me, even though I'm embarrassed, I can go up to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And God can go, forgive him. I don't condemn him. Don't do it again. Okay. Here's a funny part. I don't think about it too often. I know, even if I do do it again, and his grace is so sweet. His grace is so immense that he would love me even if I did it 7 times. I could get back. You see, it's the enemy that tries to whisper in your ear, stay down. But Jesus is in the business of reconciliation, meaning he just wants to have a relationship. He just wants to make sure things are okay. And some of you know, especially those of you who are married, the issues don't just float away. Whether you deal with it now or you deal with it later, you'll deal with it. And good marriages, they learn to deal with it early. They learn to deal with it right away. Because if they just ignore it, it festers and it builds, and it's just that much harder to deal with. And I found the same to be true in our relationship with God. When we deal with things quickly, somehow it's just easier to deal with. But when we ignore God and we compound all these sins on top of it, and then you figure, well, I've already messed up here, so I might as well do this, and then you go down this road where suddenly you're sitting there going, what have I done? It's easier to just go, God, nothing. I messed up. Come home. And the third thing is this. Falling down hurts, and falling down is embarrassing. But the other truth of it is that falling down is scary. It's scary to fall down. Listen, I'm a big man. I don't like falling down. The one thing that made me good at football is that I don't like falling down. So when they try to take me down, I fight very hard. Mostly because I'm a big guy and I don't like getting up. It's hard. And so falling down is not something that I'm looking to do. But the reality is falling down hurts. People break their bones all the time falling down. But here's the thing. You ever notice when a baby falls, they turn around to look for other people's reactions? And here's the cool trick, and I saw my family do this, like, what? Baby's a dub. But I remember a couple of kids we were taking care of, they would fall. And instead of, here's the difference between a seasoned mother and a new mother. New mother, oh my gosh, you're in. She runs and picks it up and carries it and pats it. And, old school mom? Yay, you'll be okay. Get up, get up. Oh, no, no, you're fine, baby. Come, get up, yay. Why? A seasoned mom knows if you overreact, they overreact. If you get scared, they get scared. But if you, it's funny, we do this thing where we just yell out safe. So when my niece busts her head up against the fridge like she always does, we just go safe. And she's like, yeah, safe. And she's got a big old chunk on her head. But she's fine. Mentally, she's good. And here's the ironic part. It's the same with us. Because if the people laugh or freak out, if we go out of control, we can lose it too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Here's the trick, folks. This needs to be the kind of church where it's okay to fall down. I pray that all the time for my ministry. I want this to be the kind of ministry where it's okay for you to fall down. It's a safe environment for you to fall down. Because when you fall down, we're not going to sit there and laugh at you. We're not going to point at you. We're not going to overreact. Yes. We're going to clap and go, hey, welcome to the club. I haven't stalled us. It's time to go. I want it to be a ministry where we can say, hey, listen, this is a safe place to fail. Because we're going to love you even when you do. And I know this is a loving church, and I know this is a caring church. But you need to make sure that the newer people who walk in here know that as well. If you're praying for God to fill this church and praying for God to bring more people here, then you need to make sure that this is a church where people can fail. Where we don't get so caught up in our religion and so caught up in our legalism that we don't allow room for people to mess up. And sometimes I'll have kids who, you know, are from rougher areas and doing bad things, and I'll have some older parents come up to me and say, so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so is doing that. I said, did so-and-so show up today? Yeah, I'm happy. Because you don't know, that's perfect for so-and-so. You don't know who so-and-so used to be. And so we have a little grace for some people. Now my older people, is in there? I'll beat them up real good. But I have grace on the newer people because I'm just happy to come to God's house. Because, funny enough, they may act tough and they may act whatever and they may pretend like they're not interested, but the Word of God seeps in. You can't just ignore him. He draws you in. As long as they show up, I had one of our great leaders. She was atheist when she came in. Hated God, hated everything, hated all that stuff, but showed up to every single meeting we had. And I remember thinking to myself, if she hates God, why does she keep showing up? And then somebody who's very, very wise told me, who cares? I said, that's true, all right. And I remember one time, even in one of our smaller meetings, we had small groups with our teenagers, and they were sitting around talking about God's love, and suddenly she got up and screamed at everyone, there is no God. Crying with tears, oh, you guys keep talking about it. There is no God, and literally ran out of our church barefoot. Funny thing is, when she came back into the room, none of the kids yelled at her, none of the kids laughed at her, nobody condemned her. They simply showed her where God is and how God loves them. And sure enough, she's probably one of the best leaders I have. She loves kids like nobody else. And she's pretty patient with them. We need to be in a place where it's not scary to fall down. Where you can mess up and you can mess around and have the patience and understanding. Listen, when a baby is learning to walk, it falls down a lot. When a baby is just learning how to walk, it falls down several times. But no one points at a baby and calls it stupid. No one points at a baby and says, what's wrong with you? You're a human. You're supposed to walk. No, no. You're learning. We need to do the same with our brothers and sisters. You can't sit there and say, what's wrong with you? You're a Christian. You're supposed to live this amazing, holy life. Yes, that's true. But none of us were born knowing it automatically. Even those born in church, I learned the rough way many times. And I failed a lot of times, but thank God I had a mother and a father who loved me. Who whipped me when I needed to get whipped, and who had patience with me when I needed to be patient. And I had several amazing godly men and women He said, you put the arm around me and said, hey, I'm going to love you through this. I'm going to walk you through this. And that's the key. Again, a child's not just going to do everything on their own. They need somebody to be there. They need some motivation. They need some encouragement. They need somebody to cheer. You know, you cheer when your kid takes their first couple of steps. You videotape it. You document it. You post it. You mail it to other people. You tell everyone who doesn't care about it, My kid took their first step. Yeah, everybody does. But it's exciting to you. Why? Because they're yours. And a new Christian in this place takes their first steps. Be excited. Celebrate these little small victories of theirs. Celebrate these little moments when they come up to you and say, I read my Bible yesterday. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing. You read it for yourself. What'd you get out of it? I don't know, but I read it. Amazing. Let me help you next time. Some of you here who have been Christians longer, put someone under your wing. Disciple, mentor somebody. You don't have to be a teacher or a pastor to do that. That's your job as a Christian. Put someone under your wing and say, young man, let me teach you what God taught me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's a very simple process. It doesn't really take a lot of work. Just you live the life God's called you to live and let somebody else watch you do it. Pretty simple, I think. See, we understand all that when it comes to children, but I want to make sure that as a group, you understand that with you. Question to you if you can come up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, a new life has begun. You see, with this new life, you're learning new things. And I don't know how long all of you have been in here. Some of you were probably here when the foundation was put in this building. Some of you might be here for the first time today. Some of you may not even want to be. And I've been there, so just so you know, if you're sitting here going, they made me come, well, I'm thankful for the people who made me come. But for me, there was a time in my life where I walked away from God. Where because I fell, I was hurt. Because I fell, I was embarrassed. Because I fell, I didn't want to get back up. And I remember for over a year, I walked away from God. I thought I was okay. I was bitter toward my church. I was bitter toward people in my life. I was bitter toward relationships. I was just a bitter kid. And I remember just floating around looking for people. I remember just floating around and walking church to church. It's because I was embarrassed. Because I was hurt from falling. I was embarrassed from falling. And I didn't let people help me. Because I was scared that they would fail me like the ones before. But here's the thing. At some point, I got over it. And there's times where I've been in my office with kids, and they keep telling me about what so-and-so did, and this happened, and that happened. I remember there's moments where I had them a calendar, and I said, hey, do me a favor. Pick a date when you're going to get over it. And it may seem harsh, but some of us, we drag things out, and we're sitting there on the floor, pouting and crying, and this one owes me this, and she should have done that, and he should have done this. Listen, with all due respect, pick a date.
Yes.
No. It's not that big a deal. There's another play coming up. Get up, dust yourself off, and let's keep moving. Are you going to fall? Yes. If this wasn't the first time, it won't be the last time. Are people going to fail you? Absolutely, they are human. Pastor Lawrence is not perfect. Julian and the leadership team here is not perfect by any means. I am definitely not perfect. But I serve a God who is.
Amen.
We all serve a God who is. Yes. And if He understands the importance of grace in our life, we need to be able to understand the same thing. Listen, folks, I never regret that. I never regret the times that I came back to Christ. Because here's the thing. Eventually, I got over it. And I let people help me. I let people take me under their wing. I trusted again. Not so much in them, but in God. And that God would use them appropriately. God has blessed me immensely since that time. A couple months ago, I was in England for the second time in a couple of years. I went to preach at a university out there, and then I was doing revivals in schools. Who would have thought a kid from some bad neighborhood in Chicago would be in England? Maybe they thought it was weird. I get the amazing privilege to be here with you, to speak to an amazing youth group, to fellowship with amazing people. This week I get to be with 900 teenagers and watch them scream and cry after God. It's an amazing privilege to just witness. And all of this happens in my life because one day I said, you know what? It's time to get up. It's time to stop sitting here crying and blaming people and wondering. It's time to stop sitting here thinking it's somebody else's responsibility. I'm gonna get up today. And I never regretted a moment I did. Have I fallen since I've gotten up? Oh, yeah. Probably this week. I don't remember, but if I did, I'll tell you about it. Because I'm not embarrassed about it. Because all those failures are just huge testaments to how great my God is. Because you can't have a testimony without a test. So, I will more than gladly fail and fail publicly if it means giving glory to God. Here's the thing, guys. Don't be embarrassed about your failures. Don't try to hide it from everybody, especially God. The Bible says, what's done in darkness will be brought to light. Another verse says, be sure that your sin will find you out. So there's no point in hiding it. That's just dumb. Again, it's like my niece who hides behind a curtain and thinks we lost her. Just open up. Take a lesson out of these children. Take a lesson out of these little kids that we see across. And just how we are with them is how God is with us, and even better. Would you close your eyes with me as we close today? Because as we pray, I just want to make sure I extend this offering to you. Because I want to just pray. Because maybe there's somebody here that's fallen. Maybe you're not where you used to be in your relationship with God. Maybe you're nowhere near God. Maybe you don't even believe. If you're here and you've fallen, I want to be able to pray with you. I want to be able to extend my hand out and say, hey, listen, let me help you up. And so with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, the first group of people, if you're here, even if it's just, you know, I won't embarrass, I won't call you out. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've fallen and I'm having a hard time trying to get back up. That's you and you want me to pray with you. You just raise your hand right where you're at. And I'll pray with you.
Amen.
Is there anyone else? Thank you, guys. And then I want to just be able to pray. Maybe you haven't fallen, but you've been stumbling. There was one time I stumbled, literally physically stumbled for about a block straight before I fell. You can stumble for a while trying to keep your balance, trying to stay standing. The reality is, once you reach a certain point, you're going to just tip over. And so maybe you're in this room today and you say, Pastor, I haven't quite fallen, but I'm stumbling. There's areas in my life that I know I need to make right, and I haven't done it. There's situations that if I don't take care of today, I know I'm going to fall. If that's you, I just want to be able to pray for strength for you. I just want to be able to pray that God will use and encourage you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand just so I know who you are and I can pray? We can just all stand, keep our eyes closed. I want to pray for both of those groups. And if you're in that first group, I just ask if maybe after today you meet with me after the service, we can just talk and make sure you get connected. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, I thank you because your grace is never ending. God, because you have not come to this place to condemn us. Lord, you haven't come to this place to wag some spiritual finger at us and tell us how horrible we are and tell us how bad we've messed up. But Lord, you've come this morning with your loving arms to be able to say that it's okay. That even though we've messed up, even though we're not where we used to be, even though we're stumbling right now, we're looking towards a place that we don't want to be, you, the loving God, are willing to scoop us back up. To wipe away all our sin, to make us clean once again. Lord, you are willing to pick us up like a child and wipe our mouth and clean our hands and allow us to go and play. And so, God, I pray right now that your love would penetrate the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, I pray against any spirit of embarrassment, God. I pray that even now that they will be able to boldly confess it to you, God. That even in this moment, they will be able to boldly open their hearts to you and say, God, here I am. This is what I've done. This is who I am. But, Lord, I pray that even in that moment, you will cleanse them. Lord, I pray that you will not allow shame to come over their heart, oh, Lord. But you will allow the grace and the love and forgiveness that can only come from you, God. Lord, I pray against those wounds that have come from their hurt of fall. Lord, those wounds that often can shame us and remind us of the messed up things we do. Lord, I pray that those scars will now be reminders of the amazing things you can do. Lord, that those hurt marks can be a reminder of just how amazing and gracious you are.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that your strength will be over this congregation. God, that this will be a place where people can fail and still know that they're loved by you. God, that this will be a place where people can continue to grow in their relationship with you. Lord, that this will be a place where some of us more seasoned Christians were happy and willing to take someone under the wing and simply love on them, simply care for them, simply tell them it's okay. I've been where you're at. And God can take us both to a greater place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do in this place. Lord, your word says we're going to fail at times. Lord, your word says that there will be many trials, many sorrows. But your word also says that joy is in the morning. So, Lord, we stand firm on your word in its entirety, knowing that you've already given us victory, that you've already overcome the world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Amen.